her efforts. The next case for argument, United States versus, I'm sorry, Sues versus Medi Solutions, Ms. Combs. Suez.
May please the court. 15 U.S.C. 1692I provides that a debt collector must bring an action to collect a debt only in the judicial district or similar legal entity in which a consumer signs the contract sued upon or in which the consumer resides at the commencement of the action. MedOne Solutions sued Mark Cease in Pike Township Small Claims Court in Marion County, Indiana, for medical debt. Mr. Cease did not live in Pike Township, nor did he incur the debt in Pike Township.
Could you speak a little louder? I can't hear you.
I'm sorry, Your Honor. The question here is, how do you apply 1692I to courts of limited jurisdiction established by the state legislature, such as the 84 township, city, and town courts of Indiana? Two circuit courts have addressed this issue. This court, Newsom, found that the sixth district of the Municipal Department of the Circuit Court of Cook County were not judicial districts because they were created by administrative order of the circuit court and do not represent a formal division of the court. The city courts of New York were addressed in the Hess Court by the Second Circuit, and they were found to be judicial districts. They are independent courts of limited jurisdiction established by the legislature. The Indiana city courts, town courts, and township courts, because they are legislatively created, are like the city courts in New York, in Hess, and different from the municipal district courts in the Circuit Court of Cook County, created by the order of the Circuit Court of Cook County. But the district court held that the Indiana township courts are divisions of the county's circuit court that exist for administrative convenience. This is wrong. Each township court is a separate court associated with a geographic area, created, staffed, and funded by the legislative authority of each township. And the fees generated are paid to the township. Hess addressed the question of venue in Syracuse, New York City courts. New York law creates a trial court of general jurisdiction, original jurisdiction, the New York Supreme Court, with a branch in each county, but it also creates 1,500 courts of limited jurisdictions. City courts, town courts, village courts for cases less than $15,000. They're independent judicial districts across the state. And pursuant to that, the City Courts Act of New York, Syracuse City Court hears cases of a certain size arising in Syracuse and its immediate suburbs. If the defendant doesn't raise the issue of venue, there's a waiver, so the Syracuse City Courts have jurisdiction. Hess held that where the state law specifies a nexus between the residence or activities of the consumer and the geographic location of the court, the law sets forth the appropriate judicial district for the purposes of the FDCPA. Nexus here meaning the court can proceed over the defendant's objection. But the Indiana court system is similar to that of New York. The Indiana Constitution vests judicial powers in one Supreme Court, one Court of Appeals, circuit courts, and such other courts as the General Assembly may establish. As relevant here, the Indiana General Assembly created city, town, and township courts by statute. They have original and concurrent jurisdiction in all civil matters where the debt doesn't exceed $6,000. There are 9 township courts in Marion County where the county is consolidated with the city. And each township appoints a township judge, sets judicial salary, gets income from...
Well, what's the difference between this and Newsom?
The difference in Newsom is that the municipal district courts of the Circuit Court of Cook County are divided by general order of the circuit court. And they have jurisdiction. Every municipal court has jurisdiction over any matter.
Well, don't these township courts have countywide jurisdiction?
They have countywide jurisdiction. You mean the township courts?
Yes.
The township courts have limited jurisdiction, but they're not...
Have countywide jurisdiction?
They have if the defendant doesn't raise the issue of venue, then they have jurisdiction over the matter. Any township court can hear under the statute. Any township court can hear. And there is an ability to transfer, but that doesn't distinguish the courts from the New York City courts, because the way, although
but
the
doesn't it make it more analogous to the Cook County system?
No, I believe that what you have to focus on is the fact that the municipal districts of the Circuit Court of Cook County are not created by state statute. They're for administrative convenience. Here we've got separately constituted courts.
You're missing the point. What you should be arguing is that the policy behind the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act is violated by forcing this fellow to defend far away, right? Isn't that your argument?
Absolutely correct.
Argument? Unfortunately, you should be arguing that Newsom should be overruled because it has the same problem.
Well, I think, Your Honor, that you can...
These distinctions that you and your opponent discuss, they're, you know, angels dancing on the head of a pin.
I think you can interpret Hess consistently with Newsom. Together they hold that a judicial...
No, you can't, because neither of them is related to the... Well, I think Hess is, actually. But there's nothing in Newsom, I think, maybe I've missed it, that relates the issue to the policy of the Fair Debt Collection Practices. I mean, presumably when they say a judicial district or similar legal entity, they're doing that to advance the policy of the Act, you know, right? Because we know that the debt collectors are ruthless, and the debtor is often, you know, unsophisticated. They get horsed around from place to place. That's what the focus ought to be, rather than whether Cook County created something or the state of New York. See the point of all that.
Your Honor, I think it is important.
So how are debtors hurt by having to go from his home to what, Pike Township, about a half hour drive? So,
Your Honor, I think there are two issues that impact a debtor with respect to the township court, and I think you do need to look at the Indiana's report on the township courts. First of all, what the report showed was that any township could hear it, debt collectors or debt collection attorneys would file their cases in the courts where they felt that they got an advantage. And the Indiana Supreme Court found that, in fact, the judges who played it by the rules their docket would decrease, and they found that to be very troubling. They found that, so that's one aspect. When the 1692 was initially created in 1977, that was a very big issue on the debt collection issue, is the forum shopping issue, and 1692I limits the amount of judicial form shopping that can occur, because a debt collector must file. It limits the places that the debt collector can file so that it doesn't allow a debt collector to just file in the court that it chooses. So that's one aspect. Obviously, the Indiana Supreme Court also pointed out that in Indiana, Marion County, the nine township courts, that it's very difficult for a debtor to get by public transportation, certainly from one township court to the other, so that there is an impact in convenience with respect. And in these small debt collection cases, when it's inconvenient for a debtor to appear in a court, they often will default, and that is to the advantage of the debt collector, so they can file all of their cases in a township court of their choice. If the defendant doesn't show up, he doesn't raise the venue issue. And the function of 1692I is that it changes puts the onus on the debt collection attorney to file in the proper place instead of the onus on the debtor to object, so that it is a very important function, and the township choosing a township court that has a nexus with the with the debtor and the case is a very important function of 1692I. So I see my time is out, and I will like to respond to the defendant's arguments. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Combs. Mr. Levy?
Thank you. May it please the Court. I'd like to begin with the same question that opposing counsel started with, which is the question here is how do you apply 1692I?
No, I actually think the important question is which approach is more consistent with the policy of the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act?
When you mean the approach, are you talking about the difference between Newsom and Hess, or are you talking about whether...
No. I think they're the same.
Okay. We do, too. The Fair Debt Collection Practices Act, the design behind 1692I was convenience. I know counsel just stood up here and talked about forum shopping.
No, I don't agree with that. Why do you say convenience?
Well, the reason it's about convenience...
The Fair Debt Collection Practices Act is about benefiting debtors who are faced with debt collectors who are... You know, ruthless, right? There's an inequality between the debt collector and the debtor. So what Ms. Combs was explaining, I think, shows that your interpretation is seriously adverse to debtors. I don't see why that would be consistent with the statute.
Well, it's consistent with the statute because the key provision is that the statute says we could file in one of two venues, depending on how you want to define those venues, and we'll talk about. You can file where the debtor lives, or you can file where the transaction or the occurrence happened. In this case, there is only one county in the entire state of Indiana that has township small claims courts. It's the largest most populous county, the busiest court system, Marion County with Indianapolis. Those are the only township courts in the state. So, if you go to a rural county, and there is only one court that sits in the county seat, that individual would have to travel from the edge of the county.
That's true, but I don't see the relevance of what you're saying.
Well, if the
you're
idea...
You can screw around with debtors in Marion County.
Well, I don't. The issue is not whether you can screw around with debtors in Marion County. The question simply presented is, under 1692I,
look,
is this a judicial...
I don't get much out of 69I. Judicial district or similar legal entity. That doesn't mean anything as far as I'm concerned. What's a similar legal entity to a judicial district? Seems to me you have to interpret it in light of the purpose of the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act. Now, what's the purpose of allowing you to file your debt collection claim in a remote a place?
Well, it's not remote. It's in the county where the contract was signed.
It's a 33-minute drive, according to Google.
We could have filed in Pike Township if you accept plaintiff's argument. The difference from Pike Township in Lawrence Township, the difference from Lawrence Township to Pike Township is less than half the county.
No, that's the 33 and a half. The 33 minutes is from Lawrence to...
I will confess I didn't run Google, but I don't think it's 33 miles west. But taking a step back and looking at that is, to answer your larger point here, when Congress enacted the FDCPA in the 1970s, they did a lot of things. But they only did one thing that directly regulated the way states maintained their collection lawsuits. And we would submit that was very intentionally done by Congress, because Congress needs to be very cognizant.
What's the evidence of intentionally done? You have legislative history?
Well, no, we're not submitting legislative history.
About intentional, then?
The statute is very comprehensive, and looking solely at the face of the statute, as we should.
But judicial district or similar legal entity is very vague to me.
This court in 1996 gave a very easy definition to that. And what this court said was that there were three factors to look to.
This is the definition they got from Black's Law Dictionary?
Correct. In the Newsom
decision. Yeah, but you know there's a problem. Did you know there was a problem?
I don't know which specific problem. Yeah.
Well, that definition isn't in Black's Law Dictionary anymore.
Well, the court's position, and that's based on a cardinal's...
That's significant, isn't it?
We would submit
that... on Black's, and the editor of Black's, for whatever reason, removes the definition for the subsequent editions.
We would submit that it's not, because...
What should we draw from that?
The reason that it's not significant was in 1996 in Newsom, this court did not look at the definition of a judicial district in 1996.
They looked at Black's Law Dictionary, and now Black's Law Dictionary has changed.
But they looked at the blacks at the time that the statute was enacted in 1977, and they specifically noted in their opinion that it is the same today.
Why did Black's Law Dictionary deleted the...
I do not know, but I do know that there's a cardinal rule of statutory construction that says when Congress...
Cardinal rule of statutory construction. You know how many cardinal rules of statutory construction there are?
There's only
one. There are almost 100. And actually, there are some... You can find books which will list 250 principles of statutory construction. And a great many of them contradict each other.
In this case, there's...
So what's your cardinal... canon that isn't contradicted by some other equally cardinal canon?
And this one, the one that is implicated, is the one that this court cited in Newsom, which is when Congress uses an unambiguous legal term, it intends it to have its recognized common...
Entity is an unambiguous term?
This court ruled in Newsom, it's an or, it's disjunctive.
Get Newsom. How can you say similar legal entity is... a clear legal term. First, it's not a legal term, right?
I'm not. It's in the disjunctive.
Judicial district is a legal term. Similar legal entity is not a legal term.
Statute is phrased in the disjunctive. We only have to prove the judicial district, not the similar legal entity.
What's a judicial district?
A judicial district is a court that has original jurisdiction, that's territorial boundaries define, or its geographic boundaries define its jurisdiction, and... is commonly divided across the state. That's precisely what this court held in Newsom. They said that when you take that and you look at it, the hallmark of a judicial district is a court of original jurisdiction.
Judicial district or similar legal entity.
Again, it's in the disjunctive. Our position before this court is that Marion County is a judicial district, not the individual townships.
Why not? If it can be a judicial district or... I see, you're saying... You could find some similar legal entity in which to file it, but anything that's a judicial district you can file.
It's or not. So if you file in the judicial district where the contract was signed, you have satisfied the provisions of the Act. The judicial district, under the definition and act used by this court in Newsom, and consistent with its recognized common law definition, a judicial district's hallmark is a court of original jurisdiction. The township courts...
Well, now, Wyoming is one federal judicial district. So if you had a basis for diversity or something, you could sue anywhere in Wyoming.
I am not familiar with how Wyoming District Court divides up their individual districts, but if they divided it up similar to,
there's only one judicial district. So your position would be, I mean, clearly the federal district. The District of Wyoming is a judicial district. Your proposition is, since it's a judicial district, you could sue anywhere in Wyoming, which is a big state, with very few people in it, right?
The judicial
district... That's your proposition.
It is not. The judicial district...
It's a judicial district.
The judicial district is defined by state law, so...
Well, forget state law. Well, why do you say state law? Is that what the statute says? You can't bring... What happens when you bring a federal suit in Wyoming to collect the debt? Can you sue anywhere in Wyoming, or are you bound by state districting?
Again, consistent with the definition...
Where is that in the statute?
The statute says that you must file in the judicial district where the...
Where does it say it must be a state judicial district?
Well, I guess I was saying...
Well, where does it say it must be a state judicial district?
It does not say it must
Nowhere.
Be a state. It does not. In this case, we are dealing with an action that was filed.
You are, on behalf of your industry, so to speak, you are forswearing any argument that a federal judicial district is a judicial district within the meaning of the statute.
Certainly not. Certainly not.
Then you're claiming that in Wyoming you can bring a debt collection suit anywhere because it is a federal, it is a judicial district. That's your proposition.
There is not, and I will confess,
I'm distinguishing that.
The way that it would distinguish is there are three factors that are applied, and I must confess I am not familiar with.
So we're not talking about what a state says is a judicial district. We're talking about three factors.
Absolutely. Our position is the three factors from Newsom.
Absolutely. So they say that, so the fact that Marion County is a district, that's not dispositive. You have to look at the three factors.
That is our position, and the three factors from Newsom say the most important is, is there a court of general original jurisdiction? The townships do not have original jurisdiction. The reason that that is important is because the concept of a judicial district.
Oh, please, give a practical reason, not a concept. Give me a practical reason why that matters.
May I respond?
Well, I asked you a question. I wish lawyers wouldn't say, can I answer your question, because the red light is going on. Because why would I ask the question?
The reason that it matters is that the statute's intent, as evidenced by the fact that you could file in one of two places, both having, to use their word, a nexus with the individual debtor, is convenience for the debtor. In the state of Indiana, the county of Marion County, all the counties are roughly the same size, by treating Marion County differently, you are saying that they are entitled to be even closer to their home than the other counties. If you sued in Hamilton County or Boone County, you would have to drive however far it is from the edge of the county to the county seat to go to your court. In Marion County, you're not traveling any farther. And we would submit that because
yes,
there were...
Look, I mean, it's such a silly... I think your position is ridiculous, actually. You're saying if you have the misfortune... If you had the misfortune to be in one of these counties that has, it's a big county, has one little courthouse somewhere, that's a misfortune about which we can do nothing. But you're saying, well, if it's a misfortune to live in another county, you certainly should be equally unfortunate if you lived in Marion County. Right? Now, why should that be? Why shouldn't debtors get the benefit of the fact that they happen to live in a populous county, there are more courts? What's wrong with that?
Well, the statute would read, you must file...
No, the statute, we're not talking about the statute. We're talking about common sense. Why is it that a debtor shouldn't have the advantage of happening to live in a place that has a lot of courthouses rather than in some desert somewhere? Where there's only one courthouse.
Well, to respond to your question, I think it plays into the idea of the suggestion is that the debt collectors are out there forum shopping. That the statute, and consistent with the reading of the Newsom opinion, Med One in this case has a client, which was Community Hospital North, located in one township in the county. And they chose to file all of their debts for that particular hospital in one township. And the reason that they chose that was because otherwise they would have been sending lawyers to nine different courts, many of which called the dockets on the same day, and there was a real administrative cost to the defendant. And if Med One, interpreting the statute to say the judicial district is the county as the whole, consistent with this court's opinion in Newsom, the decision on why they were filing was one that was fully free for them to make under the statute and under this court's interpretation of that statute. So the implication that the debtors are disadvantaged or at a bad example is not borne out. They're still going to a court in the county where the contract was signed, which is exactly what Congress intended when it enacted the FDCPA in 1977. Therefore, the debtors are not unfortunate. It's just arbitrary to say, well, you have to drive to Pike Township as opposed to Center Township. And, of course, we could then get into the discussion, well, Center Township's downtown. You have to pay for parking. Maybe they're advantageous because they get to go to the township. The point is Congress wanted to protect that you were in the judicial district, which here is the county.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Mr. Levy. So, Ms. Combs, do you have anything further?
Your Honor, first I would point out that the collection attorney did not file these cases in the township court where the hospital was located. Had they done so, there would not have been an objection as to venue. There would not have been a violation under 1692I. But I would point out to the court that 1692 says that the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act was being passed because the existing remedies with respect to debt collectors were not sufficient. The purposes of the FDCPA are met by requiring a debt collector to file in a place where the defendant cannot object to the venue, as if they had filed in the township court where the hospital was located. We're dealing with a city, Indianapolis. There are lots of sick and elderly people who do not have courts. The courts, the transportation system of Indianapolis is central. It feeds everybody into the central part of the city. But the township court, in particular in this one, Polk Township Court, was in the northwest portion of the city. There are reasons that the statute was created to help to prevent debt collectors from taking advantage of the fact that people do not have the resources to get to a court that is not convenient to them. So we would ask the court to reverse the court below. Thank you.
Okay, well, thank you. Thank you very much, Ms. Combs, and we thank Mr. Lee.